Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is the first of Safar, 1446, other areas of the world. It is the second of Safar. Let's welcome our honorable guest, and of course in other programs, Mulana Musa Lahe is the host. So, Mulana Musa Lahe, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, jazakallahu khairan for having us.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us, Mulana Sahib. Where is Mulana Sahib at the moment?
Cape Town, Kapstad, as they call it. Alhamdulillah, beautiful mother city. Alhamdulillah, beautiful weather today.
MashaAllah. And Mulana, we can see the 24-hour news cycle every now and then. We always kept on our... keeping our fingers on the pulse to see and to know how our Muslims are oppressed all over the world. Mulana, you are doing, alhamdulillah, good humanitarian aid work also. So you are from that direction, you're filling that gap. Mulana, we saw yesterday Sheikh Hasina, I don't know if it's Sheikh or Sheikh, Sheikh Hasina fled the turmoil and sort of wanted to just get a breather because of all those protesters outside her home. And I saw many students, I heard, in fact, many students entered the home also, and they were also laying on the beds. But this was done after so many students, and especially madrasa students, were being martyred. Mulana Sahib, you can give us more information on this.
Mulana, you know, the Quran Sharif speaks about when tyrant rulers come into a land, then all they do is cause fasad, and they cause mischief, and they cause mayhem. If you look at Bangladesh as a whole, right? I've been, alhamdulillah, to Bangladesh several times, particularly when the Rohingya issue was rife. It's still a problem, but when it had just commenced, and our Muslims were being ousted from what is now known as Myanmar, Rohingya, and coming through to Bangladesh. You land in Dhaka, and, you know, maybe on a lighter note, I don't know if it is light, but anyway, we knew that, okay, we're going to have to spend the night in Dhaka, and the next morning, early in the morning, our flight will be to Cox's Bazar, that is where the border between Myanmar and or between Rohingya and Bangladesh is. So we booked a hotel, which is about, you know, according to your booking.com and all of that, 500-600 meters away from the airport, thinking that we don't want to deal with any problems of traffic and things like that there. And we came out of the airport, and obviously you've got luggage now to walk 500-600 meters with luggage is an issue. So we decided, we're tired, you know what, let's jump in a taxi, and it will take us 5 minutes, 10 minutes, Molana, 45 minutes just to get 500 meters. In fact, there were times, literally, we were getting so frustrated, and people were getting so nauseous in the car, we literally wanted to jump out and rather walk. So that's to do with the traffic of Bangladesh. But when you look at, leave Myanmar and leave Rohingya one side, let's talk about Bangladesh itself. A few visits later, our host had taken us to go and see certain hospitals that were being put up or were put up, madrasas and what have you, just to understand the demographics of the local Bangladeshi people. You know, Maulana, I think that whole region, whether it's India, whether it's Pakistan, whether it's Bangladesh, whether it's Afghanistan, they are poverty-stricken beyond imagination. So people there, they literally surviving hand-to-mouth. As much as the need at the time was for the Burma people, there was always a plea that was being made to assist the local Bangladeshi people. And they are wonderful people, you know. They are good people, mashallah. There's a lot of senior akabirin in Bangladesh, khulafa of the late Shah, Hazrat Shah, Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, and after different silsilas, etc., But in a nutshell, you know, good people. So you look at this Hasina woman, right? 74, 75 years of age. She ruled as a tyrant for 15 years.
Mm.
And quite rightly so, you mentioned yesterday that the youth and the protesters stormed her house.
Mm.
And I seen the clips of the youngsters storming the house. And you look at the house, and it's a glamorous palace. To least describe it.
Mm.
I mean, it had chandeliers and it had bulkheads and, you know, you're looking at these things and thinking to yourself, subhanallah. Maulana, in Afghanistan, I was invited once to the Vice Prime Minister's home, Mullah Abdul Kabir sahab. And when we went there, I see this palatial home. I mean, beyond imagination. I've never seen anything like this before. And, you know, the Khadim there was informing us that this was the home of Hamid Karzai. When the Taliban had taken over Kabul, then Hamid Karzai ran away to wherever he ran away to. But this was his home, which was now then given as booty, you know, to the ministers or the prime ministers or whatever it may be. But you look at these homes and you think to yourself, subhanallah, look at this. I mean, Hamid Karzai was living in this palatial home for years and years when America, NATO was pounding Afghanistan from all different parts of the world, all different sides. Hundreds of thousands of people were martyred. And at the end of the day, it's only there to enrich their pockets and enrich themselves. So the same thing can be said about this Hasina woman. I don't know how Hasina it is as far as her amal is concerned. But at the end of the day, you know what? We're all going to die. And we're going to have to stand up and give hisab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This power-hungry thing, it was never found amongst the Sahaba.
True.
Sahaba used to run away from titles and, you know, if you're going to make me a governor, I'm running away. If you're going to make me the Khalif, I'm running away. That type of thing. Today, people, they love this stature and, you know, they love. And you know, even if you look at it on a lower scale in our masajid, mutawalli, people, they just hold on for what? I don't know. A lifetime membership. As a trustee or lifetime chairmanship. La hawla wa la quwwata. I mean, what is that?
And it's exactly that, Mulana. If you are not taking a profit from it or you're just doing it as well-wishing, then, of course, if there is going to reach a point where you reach your age and you say, let me now see if there's a youth who can take over this year because I'm not serving the purpose anymore. But as we see, as we know, this is sometimes the oldest of people, like Biden, who's in his 80s, in the midst of his dementia and everything, but still wants to hold on to his position. So it is this power hungry, and sadly so, as we see it amongst our Muslim communities, rightfully, Mulana said, Jamaat Tabligh, sometimes it's not supposed to be like that, but that's how it is. And I'm just relating because last week I was reading about the Khulafa'i Rashidin. Amazing to see each one, when it was handed to them, they said, not me, someone else, someone else, someone else. And this is supposed to teach us major lessons. Here you get a female, where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a female, if she's in charge, there is not going to be success for that nation. And here we're seeing it, how she's fleeing from place to place, trying to find solace. So this is it. I asked the students yesterday in Maktab because they don't know much. So I just told them a little bit. So I said, what happens if she has to become pregnant or maybe she's too old for that? But in something occurs and she can't operate anymore. So what happens in that case? I mean, we've seen men like Biden who said he's only going to do an 8-to-5 shift. Meantime, he's president. And then you look at, then I told them why I'm saying this to you is because look at Umar radiallahu anhu, who marching the streets middle of the night to see who's hungry. Where are those leaders, Mulana Sahab?
Yeah, you know, Mulana, I think the world throughout has lost this understanding of Leadership is something that is required in every community, every society. But then it is about the selection of leadership. It's about, like you said, giving new blood an opportunity to grow in this different development schemes, in the greater scheme of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at different bodies for that matter. Some people, subhanallah, you think to yourself, I don't want to make a reference, but I think people will figure out what I'm saying. But you like the secretary for the last, I don't know, since I was studying. And that's like 30 years now. How does that hold? How does that say in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we need to be very, very careful. And we need to be very cautious. But yeah, be that as it may, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us.
Ameen, ameen. And Mulana Sahib, we always stress as well with the youth that I find also, growing up, you see this, we're so determined in sinning, but then you come on to deen, you change your life, mashallah, everything Allah has granted you, ease, comfort, from where and where, the depths of darkness, and now you're in the light. But I'm addressing myself here, am I really utilizing my energy, utilizing the services that Allah has granted us to become something that is going to be an asset for our deen? And this, we just speak a little bit, Mulana Sahib, about Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who passed away on this day, the 1st of Safar. We rewind the clock 20 years back, and he just comes out of the, I think it was Fajr Salah, and there they came with these hellfire missiles, and they bombed him and those surrounding him, many of his family members too, and they all martyred. Two of his body, they say bodyguards, probably just assistants. So this, but what a legacy didn't he leave behind, because he was paraplegic. And this was from the age of 12. He's in his wheelchair, but he's mobilizing Mujahideen, giving instructions, and so many times detained. Mulana Sahib, I'm sure Mulana deals with a lot of cases where people are depressed, but look at this. From his wheelchair, his neck is bent in a certain way because of that wrestle he had with one of his friends at the age of 12. But still, he doesn't give up, still moving about, mobilizing, and he's a threat to this rogue terrorist regime.
Mulana, I still have very vivid pictures of what had happened that day 20 years ago. Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, rahmatullah alayhi, you can still picture this man with this nuraniyat on his face, this beautiful long white beard, and these Apache helicopters approaching and firing missiles at a defenseless old paraplegic man. And that is what is the crux of the Zionist regime, is that they are the cream of the crop of cowards. But at the end of the day, Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, rahmatullah alayhi, 20 years down the line, you see what is happening in Gaza today. And yes, our hearts bleed. And what is happening last night, Maulana, there was extreme fighting that took place in Jenin. And so many martyrs had been, so many people had been made martyrs, etc. But all of this year is on account of one elderly pious man, Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, rahmatullah alayhi. And, you look at the Mujahideen in Gaza, barely equipped, many of them barefooted or just wearing a simple chumper. And they're fighting against these Merkava tanks, right? Which cost millions of dollars. Millions. I mean, the equipment is beyond our imagination. And they're giving them a solid hiding. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
They're giving them a solid hiding.
And that's something amazing. And I was reading this week, Mulana, I'm sure if you've been just reading about Afghanistan lately, and I have said it just now before Mulana joined us, that often we think, how are we going to come out of this situation? Taliban stressing perhaps for a few moments. But you help the Deen of Allah, Allah helps you. Today they are finding, while they are mining, so much of lithium. And other countries are saying, we're not going to deal with you because of this pressure from the US. We're going to lose that relationship. But China are looking towards this because they're getting a good cut here from the Taliban. And this, they use a lot of lithium, all our batteries, solar power, all of this comes from there. And there's been a lot of lithium being discovered in Afghanistan. This is how Allah Azawajal then helps. Because he is, and this is where my, if I want to see this global crisis, and I want to see how am I benefiting myself from this, taking lessons, where's my trust that if I'm seeing all of this unbelievable help, assistance, but I myself am not activated, then am I not at a loss, Mulana Sahib?
You know, Maulana, Afghanistan, this aspect of lithium, I heard about it about 5 years ago already. That's when the, 4 or 5 years ago, when the Americans fled and Taliban came back into power and what have you, I think within 6 months, 7 months, they had discovered this lithium. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, you look at Afghanistan and you think to yourself, subhanallah, this country has been bombed for almost a century. First with the Russians, then with the Northern Alliance, and then with America, NATO, and over 20 odd countries. And you think to yourself, okay, I mean, there's nothing left of this country. But after one or two visits, I was surprised, pleasantly surprised to see that roads were being tarred. Infrastructure was being built. And they have a Baitul Mal system. And from the Baitul Mal, they obviously see to the needs of the community, building of hospitals, building. And Afghanistan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is bringing them up so rapidly, so rapidly. In fact, when I was there a few years back or whatever it is, there was already talks that Emirates was going to take over the airport. In other words, the design of the airport and everything, and build the airport in Kabul. And that, I'm sure, has materialized already. But this is the thing, is it took so long, right? Century, if not longer. But now the fruits are being seen. So the same thing with Gaza, with Palestine. We may not live to see the fruits of it. But ultimately, if we are steadfast on our deen, and you know, you see the Taliban, subhanallah, they wherever they are, I mean, there's Muslims all over the place, but wherever they are, you know, Maulana, you come into a masjid, you'll take off your jacket, you'll make wudu. There, they walk into a masjid, they put the clashing cloth down, and they start salah. You know, it's a different scenario altogether.
True.
Everyone is equipped with weapons there, you know. Everywhere you go, people got guns. You walk into a restaurant, they actually, you have a, like a safe room. You put your and not small guns, AKs. You put your AK there, you go, you sit down, you eat, you come back, you give them a ticket, like, you pick up your gun, and it's so casual. But this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this victory. So after, inna ma'al usri yusra, after difficulty comes ease. What is the definition of difficulty? That is determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by us.
Chief.
We say that, okay, Allah, Palestine, 40,000 people massacred, and, you know, we look at the stats and we say, but when is the help of Allah's help is there already?
Chief.
Allah's help is there already. We just need to be patient on the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mulana, you know this Mulana Sitaria that got kidnapped just about, I think it was two.
Mulana Yusuf Sab, yes.
Chief. I heard some amazing incidents this weekend. And they said when they took him in, and he's a Mulana, so of course he's got that level to turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's sitting there strapped up, but his heart is connected with Allah. And they said they gave him such a difficult time. They said, do you want to send a message out? He said, no. They said, okay, you have to send a message. Afterwards, they got fed up. They said, you must send a message. You must record something. So as he's recording, Mulana, you know when a person comes to the house from Tabligh, then the father says, say I'm not here. Then the youngster goes and he says, my daddy is not here. So he gives the whole thing away. So here, he is recording this voice note and he's saying, they telling me to say this here. And he was not interested because his heart was so activated. They say the whole time he's reading Yasin Khatams and he's making so much of Durood Sharif, this, that he was living off, I think, Mari biscuits or something. And eventually he was having dreams of him being in Medina Munawara. He said that was one of the most times where he found the most peace in his life. And he strapped up. Eventually at the end also he invited them to Islam. So this is the meaning of that. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. When those hearts are developed, nothing can, which army can demolish a nation whose hearts are developed. They're looking for martyrdom.
Absolutely. You know, Maulana, I just want to digress and link it with what you said. Look at what's happening in the UK right now. There's a lot of tension. Muslims are on high alert. And in South Africa, too, you know, we had that killing of the mother and the stabbing of the mother and then attempted bombing of the masjid and what have you.
Yes. Mm.
But what I've seen is post 9/11, many ulama, if I can call them that, they started, and I'm saying this because we mustn't fall into the same trap.
Gee.
They started taking their beards off, you know, just pencil line beards or whatever you want to call it, facial hair, you know, not even a beard, removing the thobe, removing the kurta, going into a suit. Ulama, I'm talking. Ulama. And why? No, because we are being targeted, we are being ostracized that, you know, Muslims are like this here. Now what's happening in Liverpool and all these other suburbs of UK is just going to
escalate.
Relive all of that there.
Gee.
So the hadith says a time will come when holding on to deen will be like holding on to a hot coal.
Gee.
You know, and I just want to emphasize to to myself that irrespective, we don't know what tomorrow is planned for us.
Mm.
You know, things can turn ugly for Muslims anywhere in the world. And that's how it is been. Don't give up your values and don't give up your deen. Because that's exactly what they want you to do.
Yes.
They want you to chop the beard. They want you to chop the kurta. They want you to chop your salah. They want you to chop your Quran. They want you to give up your deen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly the trap that many, many people are falling into. And I'm saying this happened in the UK. It happened in the US. You know, Muslims are targeted and this is terrorism and you know, all this terminology, nonsense. The same thing is creeping into South Africa. Let it not be that Allah forbid things get out of control, out of hand here. You know, there's a lot of Zionists. Here in Cape Town, it's crazy. But we resort to their whims and fancies.
Mm.
Hold on to your deen. Wa'tasimu bihablillah. Allah says, hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The solution is not, you know, saying, okay, you know, we have to live in the times and never mind, I'll keep my beard, but I'll go into a tracksuit now. You know, and these type of things. So we have to be very, very wary that these things are knocking on our doors.
As you're speaking, the verse is ringing in my mind. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in tuti'u alladhina kafaru, yaruddukum ala aqabikum, fatanqalibu khasirin. O believers, if you follow, obey the kuffar, they will turn you back on your heels and you will be left losers. Exactly what Mulana Sahib is saying, elaborating on. And you give up your identity, 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 till there's absolutely nothing left. And also another thing that comes to mind as we speak about the UK is when Queen Elizabeth died, we were shocked to see Muslims and ulama even writing messages to say, rest in peace and all of this.
Condolences.
And just shortly after that, it wasn't, if you go back and you see the dates also, shortly after that, there was a whole load of unrest in the UK. And why the ulama did it, as Mulana said, is because, no, we need to engage on this level as well. We need to become recognized in our country. But we forget our creator. That's where the whole thing comes in.
This thing of curring favor in politics, you know, it's a very fine line. And many times that line is broken. The rules of Sharia are broken in trying to accommodate that fine line of engaging and becoming recognized in politics. Hmm. You know, the thing is, we need to just look back at our Akabirin. Right? Now, people will say, okay, Sheikh Al-Hind, rahmatullah alayh, he was imprisoned for so many years and this and that. But remember that the challenges that they faced and the challenges that we are facing is two different challenges. Mm-hmm. We are fighting a modern warfare in today's times where everywhere you look, there is encouragement towards dunya and fitna and fasad. Mm-hmm. In those times, it wasn't like that. It wasn't mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, engaging, it's a very delicate line. And that's why you see the Akabirin of this era, very seldom will you find them going into politics. Mm. Very seldom. In fact, I can't even think of a single one. I stand to be corrected there. But, you know, off the cuff, I can't think of people that are getting involved into this type of politics. So why are we curring favor with, you know, what are we going to achieve? We're going to achieve nothing.
Gee.
Nothing, you know, absolutely nothing. At the end of the day, the doer is Allah.
Yes.
The stopper is Allah. Hmm. The one, you know, it boils down to who is in control.
Mulana, jazakumullah khairan for your time. I see it's just hit 9 o'clock. We appreciate these messages. It wakes me up a little bit also from my slumber. And Allah reward you totally. And inshallah, some success comes out, some in Cape Town especially, inshallah. How's the weather in that, Mulana, in Cape Town?
Well, alhamdulillah, it's been on and off. August, Mulana, is the most coldest month of the year. I didn't know that. I'm learning that now. But yeah, we've had rains on Saturday and then it's predicted again, or, you know, they're forecasting from Thursday onwards rains again. So normally August receives a lot of rains, but it's that biting cold. Not as cold as Joburg. You know, it drops to about 10 degrees, 12 degrees, but it's cold. For some reason, it's cold.
Well, I will meet you tonight, inshallah, 8 to 9, Tasawuf, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.